Nice to be back.
Of a minik, Chodesh Elul, that we blow shofar. And it has no parallel in any other minik hogim that we have. It's almost the equivalent, we do almost the opposite. Comes before Pesach, we stop for most of the world. It's a minik, but the minik is to stop eating matzah for most of the world. Some from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, some from Purim. A minik, not a din. Let us imagine we took the opposite stance. From Purim, every day you eat matzah. And you stop there at Pesach, and then Pesach night you eat. You don't have any parallel to this. A very strange thing. We blow up the whole elul, then we stop, then comes the real deal. Smaholech, what's behind all of this? There's a very fascinating medrash in the Pirkei d'Rabbeleza, Perek Mem Vav, and it's quoted by the Tor Shulchan Aruch. Tanya of Pirkei d'Rabbeleza, B'Rosh Chodesh Elul Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moyusha Alei Alei Ahara. According to Rashi's interpretation, we'll stick with Rashi's interpretation, the Ramban is otherwise, but we'll stick with Rashi's. Moshe Rabbeinu was sent to Har Sinai three times. The first time, Shavuos, to receive the Torah. Then he came back to the debacle of the eagle. And then he goes back again to plea bargain the eagle. And then he goes back again on Rosh Chodesh Elul to seek a full measure of kapara for Klal Yisrael, and he receives, which he does. So Ayah Vashem Salachti Kidvarechom. And he receives the luchas on Yom Kippur. So this time, when he comes going to go up to the Hor, the Rabbanu Shalom tells him, "Alei Alei Hor, ascend the mountain." Shoz Olo Lekabel Luchas Achrayus. He went to receive the luchas shnius, and they were concerned that perhaps the catastrophe that it struck the first time. It's even almost hard to imagine the timeline of it. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them it's going to come back midday on the 40th day. And what happens is they assume that the day that he ascended Har Sinai was one of the 40 days. And it wasn't one of the 40 days because in that count, you had to start from the night time. So the first day was struck. So you had to start a day later. So, half the day has passed, and there's no Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not around, not in sight. They're overtaken by such a panic. What are we going to do? Moshe Rabbeinu disappeared. That they gather together, and they very quickly come to a conclusion of that which they want to do. They want to make an eagle, they come to Chur, they come to Har. And this is the whole Asik of the Ego. Vahimi Mocharos and Moshe Rabbeinu shows up. And if they just decided, listen, sit tight for a day. Well, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu got delayed. He wasn't a Yekka, and he's coming back on the 41st day. You know. Can't happen. So they got carried away with themselves, and they panicked, and they wound up with an Ego. So now they wanted to make sure that they get the cheshbon straight the second time around. So when Moshe Rabbeinu goes up, so aviru shayfer b'machane Moshe olo l'ha shelo yitu oid achar avodas gedulim, that they should not have any possibility of getting involved in avodas zara again. V'akodesh baruch hu nis'ale b'eis shayfer. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was exalted with this shofar which is blown. And the pasuk continues. What's the pasuk? Shenamar Olo Elokim Bisrua Hashem B'Kol Shofar. So he writes, the Bach writes, L'kach Omar V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nis'ala Isai Ba'ayis ha-shoifar shenemar ol Elokim b'sruah. Ol Elokim b'sruah way through the Rosh Hashanah. That's the Torah of Rosh Hashanah, and that's a pasuk that we're all familiar with from the process of the Tkiyas ha-shoifar. So ol Elokim b'sruah is the Torah of the Tkiyas of Rosh Hashanah. T'chsiv yom Torah yelachem. Aval Hashem b'kol shofar mikir yesahu. Why do we need this pasuk? We already said ol Elokim b'sruah. So this medrash, there are other drashas in the medrash, we'll come to. But also the drasha, the kol shofar, the midbar, through the kol shofar that they blew in the midbar, dal yodo holcho acharei Hashem, and this is sure that they would follow with the derech Hashem and not get involved in a way there's over the Torah of all this gedulim. Gam zeh nis'ala hamokom baruchu baruch shema. And therefore, we enacted a minhag to blow the shofar. The blow the shofar, the Torah Shulchan Aruch says, Lachain Hiskinu Chazal. And it's in the Medrash, it's also in the Medrash, it's a Takanas Chazal. It's a minute kodum, she toikim rash chaydish elo b'chol shonu b'shonu. According to the text, there are different texts in this Medrash. According to the text of the Torah, this din is a din in rash chaydish. It does not affect the rest of chaydish elo. There are texts that say mei rash chaydish elo, which not birash chaydish elo, which means text, it's the tekana is to blow for the entire month. But the text of the Torah Shulchan Aruch is Birash Chaydash El. So, all the Elohim B'Sruah Hashem B'Kol Shofar, the Rabbeinu Shalom is exalted. Now, why do we commemorate this? Okay, it was a very nice thing, it was a nice mitzvah that they did. But why do we commemorate it? It's because it's a very special schusah. It's a schus that Klal Yisrael has, and it's also more than a gentle reminder to ourselves about the schusim that we need to prepare for Yom HaTov. What was special about this shofar was that it was blown for what purpose? To make sure that they don't violate the halacha of Avodah Zarah. To make sure that they observe the mitzvahs properly and not arrogant. That is so significant before the Rabbeinu Shalom that just as Olo Elokim B'Sruah, as the Bach tells us on Rosh Hashanah, and there we acknowledge the monarchy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Shofar. It's Malchus. How are we Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Ba'meh B'Shofar? That's the Hamlocha, Tuvas Melech Bo. In the same way that we exalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, it's no less a significance is attributed to the chashivas, to the respect that we give to the Rabbeinu Shalom, is that we blow the shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Why? Because it shows the level of attentiveness that we have to be mekayim in the Dvar Hashem. All of life, we have significant and insignificant things that we have to do. We'd like to do all of them, but some are more significant and some are relatively insignificant. I'd like to eat an ice cream this afternoon at the park. Now, if I want to eat the ice cream this afternoon at the park, so I put it in the freezer, and when I run out of my house, I have to remember to take it with me. So I didn't make 17 signs to remember. So if I remember, I remember. If I run out of the house and it doesn't happen, the world didn't end. It's not very, you know, one of life's important achievements that I eat an ice cream in the park today. But if you got a letter from the bank that if you don't pay your mortgage tomorrow, they're going to give you a $5,000 fine. So that, you're not going to leave the chance. I ran out and I forgot to check on. You'll prepare whatever the payment is in the envelope when you put it in your pocket and you put 17 signs around the house to make sure that you don't forget about it tomorrow, no matter what happens. Because this is for real. This is something significant. The fact that we undertake to remind ourselves not to violate Avodah Zarah, that's because this is we take the Dvar Hashem seriously. It's not a small thing. We can't leave it to chance. We have to take whatever steps we can to make sure that we achieve the end. And therefore, in the same way that we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Rosh Hashanah, Allah Elokim B'Sruah, no less so do we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we blow the shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul, Hashem B'Kol Shofar. We show a reverence for the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a schus for Klal Yisrael. And it is man, perhaps for that reason, it's mesugal to do tshuva, elul, because this entire process, it's the process of tshuva was taking place, and the proactive step that we took to blow the shofar. And we have the schus, in fact, that we took this step. And it's also a reminder to ourselves of how significant it is before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we take a step towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to assure ourselves that we won't violate the halacha in some regard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called upon them b'chol dar v'dar to blow the shofar, to acknowledge the schus that Klal Yisrael has. When a person takes a step towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Hashem b'kol shofar. He's acknowledging the Rabbeinu Shemayim. So this is the way we begin Elul. And there's a huge pilpul here. How to count to 40 days. Where do you get 40 days from? Now, even if we're most charitable, we can't wind up with more than 39. Right? So in other words, if we started counting from Rosh Chodesh, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, so we have, that way we stretched it out, so we had 30, and then we get, if counting that day, and then we get up to 10 more, so we actually reach the 40. But we have to add the last day and off. But if we start from the beginning of Elul, we don't have it. Max, you can get to 39 days. So, and this is, again, a pilpul, which is relevant, because when do we begin blowing the shofar? There are many, many achronim, the marshal among them, and many, many others that say you're supposed to start blowing the shofar on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul. Because that's when Moshe Rabbeinu was sent to Har Sinai, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul. And the way that we blow the shofar from them. Arminig, and the Taz seems in support of that, by the way, as well. But the Magen Avraham records Arminig, that Arminig is to start blowing on the second day of Rosh Chodesh, on Aleph Elul itself. So, the Magen Avraham wishes to defend our practice. So, he brings a whole slew of achronim that hold to on the first day. Chosav achach b'shloimo levush and the shlo the yesh lahaschil eschaya b'yoyim rishin the Rosh Chodesh Elul. The oz have imem yom shalifne yom kippur, and then they get to 40 days. And that's what he went up, obviously. Kiri Yisa b'tu, b'chein kosu, I think Mata Moshe b'shem Maril. B'kosu, the hanoyeg in the haschab yom sheni. So he writes, what's the reason that we have, which is our practice? Tamayal is called Lamed Yom im Beis Yomim Shal Rosh Hashanah. That the, since the pasuk says tikkun b'chay the shofar, so it's a remez that you should blow the shofar for 30 days. So they count the 30 days, 28 days in Elul. The last day of Elul, we don't blow the shofar, and the first 2 days of Tishrei, so altogether we blow shofar for 30 days. That's the way they learn. V'linera da'atam k'mo shikos v'toyz bar v'kama v'shem anon t'chum and v'osho olam yom sheni d'rosh chay the shofar. Moshe Rabbeinu actually went up on that day, on the second day of Rosh Chodesh Elul. So how do you get to 40 days? Rak she'ibru le'elul da'hayshata. They made a full month, a 30-day month. V'imkein ein lozuz me'aminig l'haschul b'yom she'en. So when exactly, and there are even those that you find, I believe, I think, that say that he went up in Chof Tes. Oh, I think there's even a sheet that it holds that. Even a sheet that it holds that. So there's all types of sheetahs here. But our practice is that we actually start on the second day of Rosh Chodesh Elul. And according to the Mogen Avraham, it's because that's the day that Moshe Rabbeinu actually made the Aliyah Lahar. So it's entirely consistent with the Medrash, that's the reason for this blowing. Now, according to the text that the Torah Shulchan Aruch has, that this blowing is relegated to Rosh Chodesh. So what happens to all the moderates, all the rest of the blowing of Elul? Why do we blow the rest of the time during Elul? So the Torah Shulchan Aruch says, and this lochain is kinu chazal shu toikab Rosh Chodesh Elul b'chol shana b'shana. That's because of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a sent. B'chol ha-chodesh, why do we blow the whole month? Kidei l'haza Yisrael shi'asa tshuva. It's a wake up call. When we hear the shofar in the morning, we're supposed to hear a different shofar. Not the shofar of tomorrow morning. But we're supposed to hear the echoes of the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. And to realize, right, it's telling us day by day that we're getting closer to the day that we're going to hear a real shofar. That's the shofar of Elul. Now, since already it was his man of Rotzim before the Rabbeinu Shalom, because Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Mispalo for Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael itself took steps that we should not violate Avodah Zarah again. So that's perhaps part of the schus that Moshe Rabbeinu had to save us, is that part of the process of tshuva is to keep oneself distant from one's chet. So we distance ourselves further from the chet of the Avodah Zarah. So Moshe Rabbeinu, that was part of the taina that he has, to ask the Rabbeinu Shalom for kapar. And Shofar should inspire us for tshuva, shenemar, as the Novi in Amos writes, and you talk of shofar b'yevo omlo yechrodu. That when a person hears the shofar, apparently Yom and the Rom should resonate in his head. That should be the association. My father, Olav HaShalom, davened some of the time, I don't really know which part of the time, but in some of the time he davened in a yeshiva ketana racheda in East New York. In the early morning hours. So, because it was a cheder, I don't know which days it was, but the bells in the school used to ring sometimes when they davened there. So there was one guy that davened the Dominion, from guy, used to come every day and put on talis, you know, davened the talis and tefillin. But his profession, he'd been a boxer. And whenever the bell rang, jumped. That was inbuilt. You know, he heard the bell, he jumped, he was ready for action. There's a connection. The brain made a connection between the bell and getting ready for action. We have to have that connection in our head when we hear the shofar. We have to hear the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. And if we hear the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, how could it be Va'om Le'yachrodu? So each day in Elul is a little bit of a achana for Rosh Hashanah to remind us that the day is drawing closer and we ought to get ourselves into gear and do something. And there's a third reason yet. The Achronim Pilpul exactly, uchadei la'arvev ha-satan, and to confuse the satan. Now, the satan is not easy to confuse. You know, he's no chump. So you just don't, you know, you tell him whatever you want and confuse him. So Rashi and the Rabbi Hanano write, what's Irvav HaSatan? There are many pshatim. I'll go into two of the simplest that are pshatim. Rashi and the Rabbi Hanano write in Masech to Rosh Hashanah, Irvav HaSatan is Chivav HaMitzvah. That we show achshivas for mitzvahs. Now, it's and the initial source of this is in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah itself. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah asks, why do we blow a set of tekiyas before Shemon Esrei, and then a set of tekiyas, let's say, an Anusach and the Chazoras Hashatz? One should suffice. What do we need two for? So we want, we feel that the tekiyas or a chelek of the tefillah should be with the brocha, so we'll just have the second 30 and drop the first ones. So the Gemara answers, Kedei la'arvei v'sasotam. So Rashi and Rabbi Hanano write that we show chavivus hamitzvah, which I take to mean that we're a little bit OCD. when it comes to shofar. We want to make sure that we're being yotzei, in effect. And therefore, we blow once, we blow a second time. So in case, it's hard not to be yotzei the mitzvah shofar. We blow so many tekiyas that acharei kechleisa, how many do we have to hear? We have to hear 9 altogether. According to many of the Rishonim, it's not a, you don't even need 30. You, according to many Rishonim, you yotzei with 9. And any of the 9, any group, is good. Elamai, so why did they make them once to, that they shouldn't have all the Klal Yisrael, you know, in every shul blowing something else. So they formalized the system that we have. But Meikra, the dinner, many Rishonim might be yotzei with anyone. 3 tashrats, 3 tashats, 3 tarats, yaitzir the mitzvah. It's all you need. So it's pretty hard, after all that we blow on Rosh Hashanah, for a yid not to be yaitzir the mitzvah, somebody has to be trying mighty hard not to be yaitzir. So that's chivav ha-mitzvah, that we want to make sure, in effect, that come what may, that I'm yaitzir. So perhaps here the chiv of hamitzvah is the chiv of really of which, not of the mitzvah shayfer, I don't believe, but it's the chiv of tshuva, that we're being mishtadl day by day to arouse ourselves to tshuva. That's the yiv of asotot. So we take tshuva seriously. And before Rosh Hashanah comes, I gave my Tommy the mamoshel. You have a guy, he did avlus. Right, so Reuven did avlus to Shimon, and things that are real avlus, and Shimon really has a right to be upset with him. But v'hoya b'yaymahu, they walk out of shul, and Shimon takes a step off the sidewalk, and a car comes careening down the block, and he's oblivious to it, and Reuven grabs him by his collar and pulls him back onto the sidewalk, and as he's pulling him back, the car shoots by, feels the whoosh of the air on his nose. But Shimon saved his life. If he hadn't acted with such alacrity, Shimon would be gone. So now what's Shimon's attitude now to Reuven? Listen, what are all my times? End of the day, if this guy wasn't around, I wouldn't be here. So how could I have tainus to him? So we forget about all the tainus. I wake up in the morning, I'm here, I can pinch myself, I'm alive. You know, Baruch Hashem, this guy Reuven is around. If not for him, they would have wiped me off the gutter. So the same is true when we come before the Rebbeinu Shalom. When the Rebbeinu Shalom, we show chivav ha-mitzvah, so the Rebbeinu tells the son, you have tainus. Oh, but look, these are bonim atem l'Hashem alokeicha. Take a hike. There's no mockum for him. He's master Peter of the Makatrik. These are my people. Tainus, in Tainus, I was Tainus. The whole world is going away from me, and these are going to me. So what should I do? What's Shaykh Tainus? It's a Seichel Dika thing in this world. So this is the Indian, this is one Indian of Irva Vasot. Rav Yonos in Eivshitz has a different approach, from a totally different angle. On this pasuk of all Elokim b'sru Hashem b'kol shofar, so the Medrash, I believe the Medrash is in, there should be a Medrash Rabbah Parshas Emor, an Inyan of Tkiyah shofar. So the Medrash says the following: Elokim, as we know, is Midas Adin, and Yud Kei Vav Kei is Midas Arachem. So all Elokim b'sru, as we begin the process of the Tkiyah shofar, the Rebbeinu Shalom sits on Kisei Din, Tzion Adin Rosh Hashanah. But Hashem, we bring him to transfer to the Kisei Rachamim, Kol Shofar, with the Mitzvah Shofar. That's the Chazal. So we take that to mean that the Shofar evokes Midas Rachamim. So Rabbi Yonah said, there are those before Hashem that tell us that part of the shofar is Midas Adin, part of the shofar is Midas Arachim. That probably could be the answer to a different answer to the question of Rav Yonos and Eish, some sofer talks about. But so he asked the following question. He asked, are you learning Moed Katan now? Oh, so this Gemara you should have done already by now. Right? You know, Chav Gimel about Chav Dalet, what are you up to? Chav Gimel. So, yeah, there's two Gemaras that you passed about. He asks from one of them, but the Emes HaDvarim is the second Gemara that says the same thing. The Gemara relates that there was a Talmud Chacham that wound up on the bad side of a mafia don. Now that's not a good thing. If you're going to be on the bad side of a mafia don, you better be a mafia don yourself. So you know you can put out the same chevra, you know, that he has, you know, and they slug it out. But for a Talmud Chacham against the mafia don is not a good match. So he was very frightened. So they decided that they went to the Beis HaKfaros. And they put him in Chayrim, and they blew with 300 shayfris, and the guy died. The mafia don died. It's a Gemara. You had it recently. And there's another such Gemara also, along a similar theme, that shayfir was used to pronounce Chayrim. So Rabbi Yonas and Eivishit says, so you see, that shayfir is from Midas Adin, not from Midas Arachamim. So what's the pshat in the Gemara, in the Medrash? So the Rabbi Yonas and Eivishit comes at it from this angle. He says, what happens if a guy goes to court and the prosecutor has 1,000 pages on him and the prosecutor really has it in for him? Besides the case, but the prosecutor really hates his guts. So, and he's just waiting to lay this case out. And he doesn't have Nebuch, he doesn't have what to say. So what does he do? Goes to court and he cops a plea. And he puts himself in the mercy of the judge. Now, the prosecutor is relegated to the side. It's not so likely the judge is going to read 1,000 pages of his evidence. You know? So I'll make a few recommendations. He's this, he's that, he's what. But to the largest extent, he took the steam out of him. And now he's left just between him and the judge. So that's what he says. When we come before the Rabbeinu Shalom, the shofar is when we cobble the din. We accept the Rabbeinu Shalom, and say, Rabbeinu Shalom, Hashavnu, we're guilty. And we're putting ourselves in your hands. What do we say each day in the davening? Niblanov Yad Hashem Ki Rabim Rachmav. If we have to fall in someone's hands, fall in the hands of the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom is a Bal Rachmav. People are not Balei Rachmav. So that, he says, that's the Irv of HaSotan. The way we push the Sotan to the side is we place ourselves in the Rabbeinu Shalom's hands. So this is part of the shofar of Elul, is Irva Vasotin. I presume it's, as I said, we're preparing for the mitzvah's tshuva. We're preparing to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the shofar is being mamlech Hashem. So these are a few of the aspects that why we blow the shofar. We start on Rosh Chodesh Elul. And we blow throughout the month, and then we stop. We stop. It's almost a little bit like the Indian of Baltoisef. The Rambam writes that a person has to know, if I think a mitzvah, the Rabbonin is a mitzvah the Raisa, I'm in trouble. And I could violate Baltoisef. So here we make a clear hecker. Erev Rosh Hashanah we don't blow. So Mameilot Lahafsik Ben Kiyas to Rishus, right? The Kiyas to Chayiv. The Chayiv. The ones that won't Chayiv. This is clear. To make clear that the Kiyas of Elul are just a minute. And that's why we stop them Erev Rosh Hashanah. And then we get down to the ones that are the mitzvah, the Raisa on Rosh Hashanah itself. So this is the inyanim why we blow shofar. Rabbi Saul of Salant writes that the degree of impact something has on us depends on the predisposition that we have. So if I'm very disposed to go in a certain direction, so I don't need much motivation or much prompting to go in that direction. So there's something I really want to do. And you come and you knock on my door and you say, hey, would you like to do this? I'm signed on before you can even finish asking me, because I want to do it. If on the other hand, it's something that I'm not particularly inclined to do, and you come and you ask me, it's not enough. You can ask me 25 times and I'm still not ready to move, because I'm not particularly interested. So you have a hard sell. maybe you'll succeed. You're a good salesman, you'll succeed at the end. So the results are dependent on both the level of the cell, a hard or soft cell, and then on what my disposition is. Now, basically, I think what Rabbi Sorrell means to say, he talks about shofar. The world changes constantly. And what it is in one age is not in a different age. And it doesn't mean that what was once before will never come back. The world is cyclical. Things that happened before happen again. So if we lived in an age which was an age of very strong emunah, so then all we had to do was to see the shamans getting the shofar ready for Elul. It would be, and forget hearing the coil of Elul, the shofar. The shamans is fishing around in the drawer to get the shofar ready for the first day of Elul. That would be enough. That we turn white. So if you live in an age of emunah, if we live in an age where emunah is not very strong, so kula haiva ulai, a lot stronger motivation than hearing the shofar in the morning. Don't shake us from our lethargy. So the world was once a place of very, very deep emunah. Even the non-Jewish world, as I often refer back to as a benchmark, read the second inaugural address of Abraham Lincoln. It's passed for a mashgiach upon a yeshiva to say such a shmuz. You know, steeped in emunah, in the notion of that the chayti shouldn't be niska, that you shouldn't gain by doing evil. If you don't find it online, the next time you go to Washington, it's etched in the walls of the Lincoln Memorial. You can read it. But nowadays, you know, if the president talked like that, they'd laugh him out. And if a guy talked like that, you say he's a fundamentalist preacher. But that's because we're distant from Amunah. So Rabbi Yisrael says, so what can we hope for? What we can hope for is that from a small motivation, we can take a small step. And maybe the small step could light a fire. So Rabbi Yisrael says, at least we should start to prepare for Rosh Hashanah. We heard the shofar. Okay, so we're not overwhelmed. I don't have this deep sense of awe. I don't feel like Kol Nidre is here yet. But nevertheless, I can start preparing for, I can prepare for Rosh Hashanah. All of us want to accomplish something. We've accomplished in the past, and we wish to accomplish. Doesn't have to be the most overwhelming things. Little things that we take, but if we're persistent about them, little things become very significant. One is persistent, day in, day out, day in, day out. That if you don't give in, the Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in European society, in the early part of the 20th century, the one of the great Marbitzei Torah was the altar of the Marduk, Rabbi Yosef Yezel. And he made elementary yeshivas, elementary schools, all over the map. My brother-in-law Zeder of Etzion Brook was instrumental before, in the years before the war, when he lived in Europe, and starting 22 yeshivas in Europe. Okay, he was obviously a talented Navaraka, but he was one person. There were plenty of other Navarakas. He wasn't the only Navaraka that ran around Europe. And he was instrumental in starting 22 yeshivas in pre-war Europe. So he asked the Chofetz Chaim, it's all about it. So the Chofetz Chaim said about the altar of Navaraka, action yatzliach. A person that's stubborn, that doesn't give in, will succeed. He was undaunted. And because he was undaunted, he was successful. So we need to ask ourselves, where are the things? Don't look for great, the big things. That's the problem. We get fascinated with big things. Big things are for big people. We need to do little things. And if we do those little things consistently, they become big things. There's a medrash. The medrash says the following: that a foolish person walked into the base medrash. Walk into this base medrash, it's enough. And you tell him, he says, what's there to learn? He says, you see all that he's swarm on the walls here? And this is just the beginning, you know. We just have a very rudimentary library here. This is not, you know. You go down the block to one of these yeshivas and you'll see, you know, a library of much more significant proportions. And that itself, listen, you want to go to Heichal Shlomo and you really see a library, you know. Or maybe Yeshiva University, you know. They have mega libraries, you know. But this is the basics. We have all the basics here. Okay, just one look at this wall and he says, there's one look at this wall and he says, listen, this is too much for me. Let me out of here. He runs out. How could I know? I can learn all of this. And you tell me this is just the beginning. You know, impossible. He runs out. A guy that's a little wiser walks in and you tell him the same thing. So he says, you know, listen. You tell me the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah is very significant. It's choshev. Okay. And you tell me, even if you learn a little bit of it, it's also big stuff. Yeah? He says, okay. He says, I'm a busy man, but I can grab a few minutes a day. So he makes up, every day he's going to learn a few lines of Gemara. He's going to learn two halachas. I'll learn two halachas. And every day comes back and he learns two halachas. A few years come by, he learned a considerable amount. Why? Because he was persistent. He was persistent. Persistence is what pays off. So a person needs that type of approach. And we need to begin to plan. Rosh Hashanah, we want to already come before the Rabbeinu Shalom and tell him that we have plans. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. You know, it's not, as Rabbi Yisrael pointed out, the Yom HaDin is Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is sort of the Court of Appeals. But the Yom HaDin is Rosh Hashanah. So the truth of the matter is, we don't really prepare adequately in what we do. Because when do we, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we start to tune in. But, you know, now, it's, summer's ending, school's beginning, whatever, life's getting back, you know. And the Zeitwert Fadreit, you know, it disappears. But we really need to prepare before Rosh Hashanah. So when we come before the Rabbeinu Shalom Lama Yom HaDin, we could put our house in order. Our house is in order. Then the Rabbeinu Shalom will look favorably upon us. So that, Rabbi Yisrael says, is what we need. The Shofar is not going to do it for us in terms of this dynamic impact. We don't have the predisposition to connect in that way, most of us. But if it reminds us that Rosh Hashanah is coming and there's something that we ought to do, and we start to do it, that's a whole different story. Yisrael of Salant, to me, one of the most striking themes that he has in his letters. It's a lot of fascinating things there, but to me, one of the most striking things, writes the following. Tshuva, in its real sense, and as the Rambam spells it out, means that until now I was doing something I wasn't supposed to do. And after the process of tshuva, I'm not doing it anymore. That's tshuva. If I improved the situation, but I still didn't eradicate that which I'm not supposed to be doing, so I'm not about tshuva. I'm a guy that maybe would like to do tshuva. I'm trying to do tshuva, but I didn't do tshuva. So what standing do we have before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What standing do we have before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I'm not complacent. I'm pushing the envelope, but I'm not there yet. So Rabbi Yisrael had this phenomenal idea, which he calls Begeder Oisei Tshuva. That's a person that's involved in the process of tshuva. He says, even if he doesn't succeed yet in fully carrying out tshuva, but tshuva's on the map. So he already, the Rabbeinu Shalom already looks at him differently. If he's not a full wall tshuva, but he's not a full chayte either. And the Rabbeinu Shalom is made to be chastoy to such a person. So, the beginning of the process is significant, even if we don't finish the process. Even if the process is not yet finished, but I'm a work in progress. We have a different standing before the Rabbeinu Shalom, a totally different standing before the Rabbeinu Shalom. Yeshiva in Kelum. Kelum was a small yeshiva, but they had great Bali Musa. And they were very, very insightful people and very disciplined people. So in Kelum they hung a sign, and Rosh Chodesh Elul used to hang a sign on yeshiva. It stated the following. Rosh Hashanah, what's the avodah of Rosh Hashanah? In one word, Melech, Malchus, acknowledging the Rabbeinu Shalom as king. So, what's the most important thing for a king, more than anything else, is that the population of the country be united behind him. If the population of the country is fractious and there are schisms, so then his whole malchus is on shaky background because he doesn't have a country behind him. So first and foremost that you have to achieve in a society if you want it to be stable and enduring is to have the population should be united behind the government, behind the melech. He says, if that's the case, he says, how are we going to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah and say, Rabbeinu Shalom HaMamlech here? You know, I've avoided such a malchus where everyone is, you know, fighting with everyone else. The Siddishkin malchus, not a melech. So the Meila and Kelim, they said, we have to have a very big stress on Avos Yisrael and Elul. If we achieve an augmented measure of Avos Yisrael, then when we mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has significance, it has meaning. Different meaning than otherwise. So this was a sign that they hung year by year in the Beis Medrash, hung every year in Elul, the Beis Medrash in Kelum. So as much as we need to focus, and inevitably our focus on Yom Ha'Aron, and especially with Rosh Hashanah, is on Ben Adol Lamokum. But we cannot achieve the goal of Rosh Hashanah unless we're very particular in the Berodon Lachavero too. It's just an impossibility. Because we've undermined the Malchus. So Elo, we need to raise our sights in Berodon Lachavero. And we need to raise our sights in Berodon Lachavero. You have to take both of them seriously. I'll just remind you, I mentioned on Friday night, for those that were present, that the Mishnah describes in Rosh Hashanah the process of the din that we appear before the Rabbeinu Shalom Kivnei Maron. So all of us know, I think, this Mishnah and the moshul that it gives is probably about the most well-known moshul in the entire Mishnah. I presume even that most non-from people that have some idea about anything about Jewish traditions know this Mishnah, know this line in the Mishnah. Right? We appear before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and the simple definition, Kivnei Moron, means like the sheep, as they're about to be tithed, they take the Maisa Behema. So the process is that you make a little opening, a little doorway, and the cattle rancher stands by the door. And as the animals go through, every tenth one he makes a red stripe on, and those are the Maisa Behema. So meaning to say, the Mishnah tells us, Kivnei Moron, the animals it's set up. If you want to keep cheshbon of what's going on, you have to make sure only one goes out at a time. So, kivnei moron. So, each one of us appears individually before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The necessity of a moshul for such a simple idea is itself odd. It's a very simple notion to grasp. It doesn't need any deep explanations. And if that's not enough, the Gemara itself gives three different interpretations of what kivnei moron means. Some say the most well-known explanation I've mentioned is the sheep go out to be tithed in the Maisa Behema. One says, Kechayoloi shall base David, as the soldiers march off into battle, each one goes, or each unit goes on its own, and makes moves at its own time. And finally, I think Kamilus base Moron is like a steep mountain pass, a mountain fall that only one person can pass through. So we have three Mishalim telling me a very obvious idea that, you know, it would be nice if we came before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and they had to pass judgment on a million people at one time and I could hide in the middle of the crowd. That would be pretty good. But when it's telling me in Gemara Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't work that way. Each one of us appears before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam on our own merits. So what do we need three Mishalim for? So Rav Itzchak of Petterburg, the great Talmud of Rav Yisrael, says that one of the foremost issues of Rosh Hashanah is that we should appear in judgment before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam as early as possible in the day. Why? Because as more chaitim pass before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the midas adin is augmented. So how do you get to the front of the line? That's the problem. So he says that's the problem that these three Amoraim address. He says there are three ways to get to the front of the line. Two of them are not particularly relevant to most of us, all of us, and one is relevant. He says, by the Meiser Behema, which animals go out first, out the gate? The most robust, the strongest ones. They push the other ones to the side, and they go out first, and the strong ones go first. He says, in the Mishpat before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the mighty ones also go first. Who are the mighty ones? The Tzadikim. So they get to the front of the line. He says, so that's not relevant to most of us. Rav Itzchak says, if you're a tzaddik, you're a tzaddik, and if you're not, what are you going to do about it? Elamai. Then there's Kechayolah Shabbos David. If you watch the army in its order of battle, you have no idea what the army is doing. This unit goes here, and this is here, which is part of the combat plan, which is a feint, which is a means of a reserve. Who knows? Only the commander-in-chief knows what the plan is. Each soldier looks, people are just flying around where they would seem randomly. So, Parshas Kisisa, we say, V'chanoisi es asher ochon, v'richamti es asher arach. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam's ways are inscrutable. Why he's merachem on this one, and why this midas in for this one, we'll never figure it out. We don't know what the factors are. But they seem to us random. They're not random, but to us, they seem random. They're inscrutable. He says, so those, there are some people that wind up in the front of the line. We have no idea why they're in the front of the line, but they're there. So if they're one of the fortunate ones, so we're fine. And if we're not one of those, so we're not one of them. There's nothing to do about that. He says, but what's relevant, this is the third group. He says, by a mountain pass, a steep mountain pass, with a narrow file that one person can go through, who goes through first? The first guy to get there goes first. The second guy goes second. Go to the post office, the first guy in is taken first, the second guy in, etc. According to the way you show up, that's the way you get taken. So he says, what this Amir is telling us is we should get online early. How do you get online early for Rosh Hashanah? He says, start preparing for Rosh Hashanah, back Rosh Chodesh Elul. Start making achonos, learn Musar, decide things are going to be misakin in the coming year. then we're in the front of the line. So he says that method of getting to the front of the line, everyone could be zaychatam. You don't have to be a special tzaddik, you don't need some special schus that none of us fathom altogether. Just to begin to prepare, then we get close to the front of the line. We get in the front section. So may the Rabbeinu Shalom grant the Shofar of Elul to draw some inspiration and that it assist us in our preparations for the Yom HaDin.